Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having an absolutely fantastic Friday today. Want to be praying for everybody up in Anchorage. I just saw a little bit ago, they just had a 7.0 earthquake in Anchorage, Alaska, and it's pretty rough stuff going on right there. And it looks like they're having a tsunami warning and everything else, Dad.
Yeah, they had a bunch of roads have completely just buckled up, huge cracks in the highways. A lot of the buildings were swaying. People were running for shelter. I mean, the aftershocks are still rattling the area. Haven't heard any reports of anybody dying at this point, but it's a pretty bad one, actually. And it's something that we need to realize that, you know, we're going to have to, you know, pray for those people up there. And remember, this is up there by the Ring of Fire. And when they ionize the atmosphere, the heart becomes extremely effective as far as the ultrasonic waves they can put down into the earth and create the atmosphere. You know, it's like 10 kilometer depth is where these earthquakes are always occurring. And that's basically that's being induced by our scientists. Now, you know, for the life of me, Austin, it blows my mind that these people will set fires, burn up a bunch of California, create a bunch of earthquakes, including out there that thing that I believe happened with Japan, with Fukushima, and just know that they're going to cause havoc, mayhem, and kill a bunch of people, and they don't care. And then when you try to talk about it, it makes you come across like you're a kook. But you tell them they're doing all this because the technology is so advanced, and people don't know how advanced it is, so they don't have any idea of the abilities of our government to do all this stuff. I mean, earthquake weapons have been on the board now for years and years and years. But the good news, though, Russia's finally calling the United States out, and they're saying now that they don't believe the official story of the Apollo program, that they're going to go ahead and send an orbiter up, a manned orbiter to the moon, and they're going to look for the stuff that was left from Apollo from 40 years ago, 45, 50 years ago. And I hate to tell them, they're not going to find it. That stuff's not there. Now, I personally believe that we've been there. I've told you guys that. It just wasn't with the Apollo nonsense. And so it's going to be interesting when Russia starts coming out and starts saying all this stuff. By the way, Prince Harry, this whole thing with the royal wedding and all that, people don't realize how incredibly liberal Meghan Markle was, or Markle is. I mean, she is now following her father in basically sticking up and pandering to the Muslims. Hardcore leftist this woman is. And the crazy part about it is she was on Hallmark and a bunch of different TV shows, and so many people think she's so wonderful. Guys, you really need to learn what these people believe. It's like Angelina Jolie. She's so liberal. And all these other people that are quote, movie stars and people flock to get their autographs. Guys, find out what they believe before you start saying, I'm going to do this and that. Yesterday, I had a good friend of mine. I was talking to him. He's nationally known. And he was telling about one of the actors who was in that movie Aliens back in the 80s, who basically knew him and basically wanted to swap wives with him. I'll tell you, Austin, off the air, who it is. And if you guys are ever around here, I'll tell you who it is too, but I'm not going to mention that over the air. But, I mean, these people in Hollywood are super liberal, perverted weirdos, or they don't go up the ladder like they're supposed to. Look right now what Celine Dion is doing with all the nonsense with the transgender movement and the promotion of the homosexuality. I mean, bless her heart. I mean, her husband dies, and she kind of goes nuts, starts doing all kinds of crazy stuff now, and it's sad to me. I mean, it's sad to me that these guys are actually able to come in and get media coverage for these weird things they believe in, Austin. And it's sad that so many people follow them and believe everything they say. And speaking of that, last night I've got a good friend who basically sent me a scathing email about Q because she disagrees with me about Q. And I mean, I've known this lady for years and years and years. And I mean, she got just outright typing everything to me in caps, like yelling at me. And I texted her back. I said, hey, whoa, chill out, man. I said, don't be rude to me. I said, I've known you for years. I said, this is my opinion on Q. This is your opinion on Q. I said, neither one of us know what's going to happen. I said, I'm just giving you my opinion. I said, getting rude and yelling at me doesn't make any difference. I said, I hope Q is accurate. I hope this all happens. I said, but there aren't 60,000 indictments that are sealed in the federal courts. Doug Hagman checked them. He's got the ability to check them. There's like 300. And I said, all this paperwork you're sending me, showing me 60,000 indictments, it's all lies. It's just all fabricated. It's smoke in the ears. It's pixie dust. People print this stuff on their computers. And say, oh, here's what we've got. No, it's not. It's all lies. It's not real. I remember years ago, I was checking into a corporation out of Tampa, and I had an attorney firm named Weinstein. And I wanted to, this is an interesting story. I want to stop for a second and talk about this. And what happened is I didn't believe the hype about this company. And so what I did is I told the person who was hyping this company to me, I said, I need an independent letter from an investigator to see if this is legit. And so sure enough, the guy's name was Lou. Sure enough, Lou sends me a letter from this big prestigious attorney firm in Orlando. I'm in Tampa. Saying this whole thing, they double checked it, blah, 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 did all, you know, I mean, full blown letter, you know, Weinstein letterhead, the whole bit, right? So I call up Weinstein. I call the doggone attorney for him. They had never done the letter. They had never inspected this company. They knew nothing about it. The whole thing was a complete and total fabricated scam using their letterhead that somebody had generated on a laptop. Kid you not, Austin, happened to me. And you're like, what the heck? This is the kind of stuff that happens all the time. So just because you see a chart that says, oh, we've got 60,000 letters, and they show all these different states with all these different sealed indictments, it's pixie dust. Doug Hagman went into these doggone websites, into these state things that he has the ability to go into, went to like every one of them and found 300 sealed indictments. There aren't 60,000. It's a lie. You know, Trump's got now. Yeah. You know, Trump's now. And now Trump doesn't want to release the FISA documents and all this other stuff. He doesn't want to release anything anymore. He says he's going to hold off releasing any of that until he sees how the Democrats are going to act in January, and that basically he's basically going to be a nice guy unless they try to unseat him or harass the president. What the heck does he think they've been doing to the president for the past 2 years? I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So, I mean, all of this stuff, guys, is smoke and mirrors. It's like Ann Coulter said yesterday. You know, Trump's turned into a caricature. And the problem is the people who love him and who voted for him and who believe in Q and all the other nonsense, they're tooth and nails and fangs out. And, you know, and I told the lady, I said, gosh, I said, really? Are you going to ruin a friendship, you know, and be rude to me? I said, I simply won't contact you again. I said, I'm not going to be fussed at because our opinions differ. You guys, here's the thing. We've got to be civil. It's like you very rarely, in fact, I don't think you've ever have heard me talk about another talk show host who alternative news. I've never talked about him if I don't like him. Now, if I like him, I'll talk about him. Like I love Doug Hagman and Joe Hagman and Sheila and Dave Hodges, and Steve Quayle. I like these guys, so I talk about I endorse them. But there are a lot of guys out there, and I'm going to tell you this right now. I hate saying that they've been co-opted. They've been taken over. They're giving you bad information. They're coming out with a bunch of hype that's not true, stuff that cannot be documented. They're quoting these weird sources that quote themselves that you can't get any third party affirmation or confirmation from. I mean, this is a major problem that we've got going on right now, Austin. I mean, again, if you don't hear the stuff you're hearing from me and Austin, I mean, Austin and I go through hundreds of articles every day between the two of us, probably more. And I get so many emails, it's nuts. And the thing about it is that, you know, I don't even know what's going to happen with all of this. And I told my friend last night, I told her, I said, I hope you're right. I said, but I don't think you are. Oh, she went berserk, went, brah! You can hear her screaming all the way across the country. And I thought to myself, what the heck? Guys, we can't be like that. All right? Don't be a brat. Don't be a brat. Don't be a brat. Be whether you're a boy or girl or male or female or whatever you are nowadays. It doesn't make a difference. Don't be a brat. Everybody has a First Amendment right, and we have a right to voice our own opinions based on the research that we do. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing is, if you talk to anybody in the judicial system, sealed indictments, the only reason they are sealed are essentially to keep everything protected and the information under wraps until they basically execute the warrant or they basically arrest them or they send U.S. Marshals for them or whatever the case is going. You don't have tens of thousands of sealed indictments that just stay sealed for years on end. That's that right there. That's first off, that's baloney. Anybody in the judicial system will tell you that. They don't leave things sealed. If it's an indictment, it doesn't just stay sealed for indefinite periods of time. Secondly, if you allowed 50 to 60 or 70,000, whatever the crazy pixie dust numbers up to now, let these indictments and you unsealed them and you basically started arresting people, you start taking them to court, you start having all this whole judicial process system, it would literally clog up the entire system permanently. Nothing would happen. Everything would go to a full-blown stalemate. You can't indict and you can't arraign and you can't send that many people to court that fast. It can't be done. It would go on for years and years and years and years and years. And then you're also thinking about this. So all these people that they allegedly have all these sealed indictments on, you're acting, everybody's acting like these people don't have unbelievably high-end attorneys that are going to get continuances on stuff, that are going to move for dismissals, that are going to move to get these things dropped. Nothing's going to happen with this. You may have a couple people at the top of the totem pole that have not done what they were supposed to do, and they're basically going to allow them to be sacrificed and say, oh, this one individual, like they did with Harvey Weinstein out there. Guys, he is only but a mere fraction of the individuals that were involved in all the sick pedophile, all the sick molestation, all the sick sexual assaults out in Hollywood. He is but a mere fraction of what happens out there. And they used him because he apparently hacked somebody off, or he groped somebody's wife, or he grabbed somebody's daughter. That's what happened. And they said, you know what? We're tired of him. We're going to allow him to jump on this altar now. We're going to basically sacrifice him to the masses and completely and totally ruin him, because we need somebody to be the scapegoat for this. And they did. And they put it in the media, this huge brouhaha, and he was the bad guy and all stuff, which I'm not defending him. I don't like the man at all. I think he's a sicko. But then what they did was they intentionally took all the focus from the pedophilia, from the child trafficking, from all the weird sex trafficking and all the weird stuff they're doing with these kids all the time. They took all the focus off that, and a couple of these girls came out. Oh, I was 19 years old, and I went up to his hotel room at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he answered with a bathrobe, and he touched me inappropriately. My question is to you, woman. Why are you going to a single man's hotel room at 4 o'clock in the morning? That's just my flat-out question. I won't take it any further than that. If you don't expect anything to happen, you're either unbelievably dumb or you're what we call naive, or both. If you're trying to pretend that you didn't know what was going to happen when you go up to Weinstein's room at 4 o'clock in the morning, let's just leave it at that. So, and I'm not defending what he did. He's a sicko. He's a pervert. I don't like the man at all. But they use these things, and they put these guys out there as scapegoats after something happens and they're no longer useful. That's more than likely what they're going to do with these indictments. If they can't figure out a way to keep the population calmed down, they're going to blast two or three people. They're going to put them out there, oh, this guy's a co-conspirator, this guy basically released classified documents, this guy did this, or this guy did that, and they'll do that. And everybody's going to go, oh, it's starting now, it's starting, it's all going to get started.
Right.
And they'll roll out one or two more people, and people will go, oh, it's starting. And then it'll fizzle down and it'll dissipate, and they'll throw somebody in prison for life, or they'll sentence somebody to death, or they'll throw somebody in jail for 20 years, and everybody will go, it's starting. And then what's going to happen is Trump's going to be out of office, and we're going to have somebody else in there, and all this stuff. Then Q's going to go, oh, we don't know what happened now. Trump didn't stay in office long enough. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. Guys, it's like a carrot in front of a donkey. If they can keep the population hooked on this, basically, this idea that some great, huge thing is going to happen right away and it's going to save the entire United States, they're going to keep it doing it. And they use bits and pieces of true information, bits and pieces of real alternative media that's factual, and they couple it in together with all this other fairy tale dust. I'm with that. I would love it if they had 50, 60,000 people indicted that are up in Washington. I mean, trust me, I'm not sitting here saying I would not love that. I would not absolutely be ecstatic if they indicted Hillary Clinton and threw her in prison for the rest of her life. She needs to be in jail. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people up there in Washington that are so beyond corrupt, they don't even need to be anywhere outside of a prison cell. But guys, we're dealing with a corrupt government, and the only thing that we can do from this angle right now is call out for what it is. Not saying we can't have hope. Not saying we can't push forward, not saying we can't try to promote the truth, but you have to be a realist at the same time. You really do. I learned that a long time ago in life. You can live in this fairy tale land and pretend that nothing bad happens. People don't get knife shot and gutted every single day. People don't get abducted. People don't get completely extracted out of the country and have their organs harvested in other countries. We can pretend that doesn't happen, and that's okay. If you want to pretend that, that's okay. But there are other people that have to stand on that wall and make sure that you're protected. It's like they have one movie in A Few Good Men when Tom Cruise is in there. And he's got him on the stand, Jack Nicholson on the stand, and he goes, "You want to pretend that I don't need to be on that wall? You want to act like I'm not on that wall? You want to pretend that there aren't people that sit up there all night with a gun on that wall so you can feel safe?" That was a very interesting movie because
that's right,
it had so many conflicting arguments, because you go, "Wow, he's right on this. Well, he's wrong on that, but he's right on this." That's exactly what it is. There's certain things that have to be done because certain things happen because evil men still exist. And we have to continue to be awake, at least the watchmen on the wall that say, "Hey, this is what's going on. This is what's really happening. We have to continue to fight for this, and we have to continue to expose them and show the truth of what's really going on." So do I wish that this many people would get indicted and all these great,
yep,
fabulous things would happen? Absolutely. 100%. Every faction of me wishes that. I pray for that. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. I live in a real world, and I know what really happens behind the scenes of a lot of this stuff that's going on. So all the best thing we can do is face the monster that we're seeing right now, call him out for what it is, and continue to push the truth and promote the constitutional, republic, Christian agenda that this country was built on, and try to wake other people up and not fight back and forth because we have different opinions, because we don't believe in the exact same things. So I talked about on the Hagman Show a week and a half ago, and so did Dad. If we're always so wrapped up in, "Well, he made this one comment I don't agree with, I'm not going to listen to him anymore, I don't like him anymore, I'm going to go back over here to somebody, he says something that I like all the time." Guys, certain things are going to be said that we don't all like. There's a lot of things that I say I don't like. I don't want to say them. I don't want to talk about them. I don't even want to read the news article that shows up because it's so horrible. I don't want to do that. I'd rather go back to my fairy tale land and have my two kids and pretend I live in this utopia and everything's perfect and everything's great and nothing bad happens. There's a reason why I carry a gun everywhere I go. There's a reason why I carry extra magazines everywhere I go. Not because I'm scared of anything, but because I know exactly what exists in this world, and at some point in time, you have to be ready to handle those demons when they confront you, and you need every available resource at your disposal, including God Almighty and every single tool on this earth to handle them. And that is where we have to stand, instead of putting our head in the sand and saying, "Oh, I don't believe in that. Oh, no, this is going to happen. We're just going to sit back and everything's going to be pretty." That's a fantastic world to live in. I wish we lived in that world. I pray for that world to reoccur. But in reality, that world doesn't exist anymore, guys. And that's just the hard, honest truth. And that's pretty much the end of what I have to say about that, Dev.
That was excellent, Austin. You know, I was like listening to you talk about all this stuff. And, you know, it was so funny. I was telling my friends the other day, they came by the house and they said, "Well, how do you like your show?" And I said, "Well, I can honestly tell you, if I didn't do the show, I'd listen to it every day, because I think personally that Austin and I have probably one of the best shows out there, because it didn't play a bunch of games." And, you know, let's go back to this Weinstein pervert for a second and what you said. You know, Michael Tyson ended up in prison because some girl comes to his doggone bedroom at 2 o'clock in the morning and says that he rapes her, okay? Ends up in jail for all that. And, you know, I felt bad for him when that happened. Don't get me wrong. I think Michael Tyson's I don't think he's a real bright boy. I'll stop right there. But the thing about it is, I don't think he deserved that. But, you know, there's different ways that you can do things. Let me give you an example. Years ago, there was a place called Cachets that's out of business. And Cachets had a guy who was working there. His name was Patrick. He was a general manager, and it's a dress shop for women. And every so often, I'd go in there with Sharon and pick her out some clothes or whatever. And Patrick was, he was queer. I mean, just totally queer. But he was really nice. He was a really nice gay guy. And I was always cordial to him because he was always just really nice. And I remember one day he picks out this dress for Sharon. He picks out this blue dress, very figure flattering dress, and it was beautiful. And I told him, I said, "Well, I like the dress." And I said, "I'll buy it for," because we were going on a cruise. So then we went on this cruise. It was a cruise to China. We actually picked up the boat. This is like 20 years ago. We picked up the boat in Shanghai, and it's like an 18-day cruise. It was a blast. I had a good time. And I remember he wears this. My wife wears this blue dress to a formal. It's a formal evening gown, sort of is. She wears this beautiful blue dress to a formal. That's a formal evening gown one night, you know, in the show, to the banquet hall, the formal dining room. And then about, you know, we had like three or four formal nights on the boat. And I remember I had met a whole bunch of guys at the gym. We were all working out and talking together, really nice guys. And finally, one of them walks up to me and he goes, "I got to talk to you, Ted." And I said, "Okay." He goes, "Well," he goes, "we got a request." I said, "We? Who's we?" He goes, "Well, about a dozen of us have gotten together." I said, "Who? A dozen of who?" He says, "About a dozen of the guys on the ship." I said, doesn't the guys on the ship have a request for me? He goes, yeah, we have requests, and we're doing it in ultimate, utmost respect. And I'm like, okay, what's your request? And they go, we would like for your wife, Sharon, to wear the blue dress again on the final formal evening gown night. and I no, this is, guys, I don't make anything up. And I just started laughing, and I said, man, you really did that well. He goes, well, you know, you have a beautiful wife, and you know, basically all of our wives are kind of not, they don't look like Sharon, and we just really enjoyed seeing her, you know, walk. And I told Sharon that night, I said, I want you to walk down this big set of stairs coming into the dining room by yourself and just make an entrance. And of course, everybody was looking, and all the women were sneering, and I just laughed. See, there's a way you can do things when you talk to a lady or talk to her husband that's not offensive. And these guys in Hollywood, they don't get that. I remember one time, I'll never forget this, Peggy Fleming was at one of our seminars that we did back in the 90s. And I like Peggy. She's a very, very nice lady. And I was talking to her. And some guy comes in who's one of the other speakers. And he just starts blowing the F-bombs and GD this and GD that and F-bombs right in front of Peggy. And I'm like, dude. And I and Peggy was kind of just, you could tell she was really uneasy about it. I thought to myself, where do these people come from? Where do they come from? What is wrong with these people? Why do they not realize that they're in the presence of a lady? And why do they think that this is okay? Now, my wife wasn't there. Now, if Sharon had been there with me, I'd have just told the boy, I said, boy, you need to shut your mouth. I said, you need to talk right or shut your mouth. But my wife wasn't there, and I thought, well, I don't really know Peggy Fleming well enough to defend her. I said, but this is ridiculous. But I did go to the speaker's liaison who worked with us, and I said, you need to tell what's-his-face, I'm not going to mention his name. He's a very, very well-known athlete. And I said, you need to tell what's-his-face, and he seems like a chill pill when he addresses these women and being around these women. But guys, there's something wrong with a society that we treat women like that, and we're rude to them, and we make these obscene comments to them, and do it publicly, and we do this crazy stuff. There's something wrong with that. I mean, you shouldn't have to walk around with your alpha male all the time with a baseball bat saying, you say something, I'm gonna knock you upside the head. It shouldn't be that way, Austin. And so when people like Weinstein do get busted, it makes me feel really, really good, because guys, the guy's a weirdo. I mean, he had his casting couch in full blown. I mean, you know, and oh God, he's just, you know, oh my gosh. Just, you know, so the whole thing about it is that let's learn to treat each other with respect. Let's be really nice. Let's just be a good person when people talk to us about anything. By the way, the guy in California who basically sued Monsanto, he went ahead and decided to accept the $78 million award in the glyphosate weed. Maybe he was going to get a couple hundred million. I guess he figures he's so sick with cancer and he's dying now, he's never going to spend it anyhow. This is Dwayne Johnson, who's been diagnosed with a case of terminal non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, has agreed to accept the $78 million after the original $289 million. The poison-producing company says it plans to appeal even the $78 million and claims that Johnson developed cancer before using Roundup. These guys. Austin said this a second ago. He's right. You get 60,000 people with super expensive attorneys. Guys, we have the best legal system in the world. We have the best legal system in the world if you've got money. You can drag crap out forever. And I mean, until the point where the state attorneys is sick and tired of putting resources and money into it. And if nobody got hurt and nobody's dead, okay, usually you can settle out and not even do anything as far as time. Look at O.J. Simpson. My gosh. I mean, what happened with him? Incredible legal team. Walks away from what happened with Nicole and Ron and whatever the other guy was, he got killed. And it's just a giant, giant mess, you know, when you don't have the money to take care of yourself legally, when you get a court-appointed attorney, and all of a sudden you get a court-appointed attorney who doesn't even want to be there. They fall asleep during the hearing. You're like, yeah, what's wrong with you? Wake up. I'm going to slap you. But they don't care. They're not getting paid. They don't care. They're horrible. So, guys, if you ever get in trouble, I had a friend of mine just the past month. Daughter got caught shoplifting, and she's like 14 years old, and she was in the state of Florida, over $300 is a felony. She got charged with felony, dragged off, locked up in juvie detention overnight, but a few hours. And I told him, I said, dude, you need to get an attorney. I said, don't let this go and not get an attorney. I said, you need to get a really good criminal attorney to make this thing go away on her juvenile record and not give her a bunch of weird stuff that they're going to make her do with the courts. Because if you step into our court system and you're not attended with by an attorney, and you step into the grinding of the system, it'll grind you and grind you and grind you to the point that you wish that you can't help. It can destroy you, put you in prison. And guys, it's so important if you ever get contacted by the Department of Family Services that you do not talk to these people without your attorney present. I can't emphasize that enough, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're 100% correct. But just to go back on what you said before, and that's what a lot of these people don't realize that are living in this Q world. And I understand it. They want that idea. They love the idea of somebody coming in and basically fixing everything at once. The same idea we had with Trump we were really hoping for. But you don't realize that a lot of people don't realize these sealed indictments allegedly of these people that are in them, these aren't people that are making, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 a year. We're talking about upper level people in the government that not only have incredibly high-paying positions. I mean, senator makes almost $190,000 a year for the rest of their entire life, even when they retire. And talking about lobbyist money, you're talking about all types of other kickbacks. I mean, on average, these guys are probably pulling anywhere from $250,000 to $1 million a year. So if they get indicted, they just don't say anything. They get an attorney, they get the best attorney, and more likely the best attorney is going to represent them and anybody else they need to. And that's it. This isn't going to go anywhere. It wouldn't go anywhere. It would just sit and just stew. And there would be continuance after continuance after continuance after continuance. And then eventually, like I said, unless there's hardcore evidence of the individual standing there in the video camera holding the knife right after he murdered somebody, dude, nobody going to jail. It's not going to happen. Also, too, though, to change topics, I saw this article earlier here today just to kind of prove a point on why we have borders, not just the whole concept of what we're hearing about border patrol, border wall, this. The reason why, the whole concept of controlling people that come into your country, a report now has come out that over one-third of the migrants that are in Tijuana now that have been trying to cross over are extremely sick. Thousands of the migrants from Central America allegedly marched all the way to the U.S. border. They're finding out now that many of them, over a third, 2,267, are suffering from either respiratory infections, tuberculosis, chickenpox, and HIV. They said at least 100 of the migrants have lice and multiple instances of serious skin infections, and there's already been 3 confirmed cases of tuberculosis and 4 cases of HIV-positive individuals. This is a serious issue. Just reading that and go just made me feel bad for the Border Patrol, especially the Border Patrol and the security and the health department in Tijuana that have to deal with this right now. And so when we see all this stuff and everybody's running around, oh my gosh, these children got tear gassed, oh my gosh, my question is this, my entire question is this from the very beginning. What does it say about a mom that's dragging her 6-year-old children into a conflict zone at a border that's surrounded by border patrol and razor wire and acting like she's possibly going to push them through the razor wire and get them to the other side? That right there shows you that it was totally staged. Second, they got CS gas or OC gas or whatever they deployed on them. It's not lethal. That's my question to them. But did you die? No, you did not. I've gotten hit with OC gas before. It burns. It's not fun at all. It's a massive deterrent. But you don't die. You feel like you can't breathe for a minute or two. Your eyes burn, but you don't die. But don't bring a child into a conflict zone at a border wall that has razor wire getting deployed CS gas. That's the first concept right there. So the whole aspect of what everybody's flipping out about is, again, smoke and mirrors get everybody so mad about the topic that nobody even makes factual questions or relevant questions like I just made there. But now in the fact that I saw this, where we have a huge amount of those migrants that are very sick with very, very, very contagious diseases, including TB and HIV, there needs to be a border wall and there needs to be border control, hands down. I don't care what all the communists out the left say. This is a serious issue, and in my opinion, this is a whole other ball game if these guys got in there, because when you start having these type of contagions, these type of diseases hit the United States in a first world country that we haven't been exposed to this stuff in a regular area on a regular basis because pretty much eradicated most of it through hygiene, this poses a serious threat, Dad, if any of these people actually got across the border.
Well, I mean, it's not only that. I mean, you got to think about it. I mean, you know, a lot of people in the United States, you know, really their immune systems are compromised, and they really don't have good health to start with, and they could easily come down with these diseases. I mean, it's just something that people don't get, and it's just something that's really kind of crazy when you stop to think about it, because it's a major problem with thousands and thousands of these people with hardcore infectious diseases, like you said, Austin, that we haven't seen here in, you know, decades. I mean, it's crazy. By the way, Rand Paul is trying to block the $38 billion in aid to Israel. He says very clearly that the U.S. cannot continue to subsidize this country forever. Top pro-Israeli lobbying groups in America are mobilizing against Senator Rand Paul, which means he probably will not be reelected, by the way, for blocking the continuation of U.S. aid to Israel amounting to $38 billion in taxpayer funds. AIPAC, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, which is basically a giant lobbying group only second to the National Rifle Association of the United States, which is a foreign entity operating on American soil, which should be registered as such, has bought ads on Facebook. Now, remember, Facebook won't even let me talk about vitamins, you know, but they're going to buy ads on Facebook complaining of Ron Paul's hold on funds while the CUFI, the Christians United for Israel, a Christian Zionist organization, launched an email campaign to pressure the senator to back away from his position. Paul says he wants to limit the time limits on assistance to Israel and cuts in aid to countries that are hostile to the United States. Guys, $30,000 a year per person in Israel we give them.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you guys like China to start cutting you a check for $30,000, everybody listening to the show every year? I think that'd be pretty nice. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to do that, wouldn't you, Austin? But the problem is that we don't understand how these guys get away with this stuff and just get through this stuff and crazy stuff like this happens. I mean, our country's broke. Why are we borrowing money to give to a Rothschild-controlled country that basically we have to borrow our money from? It's all stupid. By the way, 16 FBI agents raided the home of a whistleblower against the FBI, the Clinton Foundation Uranium One scandal. I love it when they raid the homes of whistleblowers. 16 FBI agents. They come in, you know, they come in their flak jackets and their military gear, raided the home of Dennis Nathan Cain, probably threw him on the ground, put a boot in the back of his head, held him down, probably handcuffed him. He's a whistleblower. That's my speculation. I don't know what they did to him. A whistleblower who worked for the FBI as a contractor, and he came across the Clinton Foundation and Uranium One documents that he gave Inspector General Horowitz and both of the House and Senate Intel Committees. Cain is a protected whistleblower under the Intelligence Community Whistleblower Protection Act, but the FBI wanted to know what information was contained in the documents. And so they raided his house anyway. Guys, this is happening to more and more and more whistleblowers so that they can teach all the whistleblowers to keep their mouth shut. Guys, very, very, very frustrated. What do you think, son?
Yeah, and ironically enough, as we were just talking about this, I haven't heard of anybody in the 50, 60,000 sealed indictments. I haven't heard of anybody getting raided yet by the FBI or the U.S. Marshals. I haven't heard about that yet. But we got United States citizens that are whistleblowers trying to spread the truth and the word of what's really going on directly with the Clinton Foundation. As we know, pretty much it has surfaced now how corrupt that horrible foundation is. And he gets raided simply to find out what happened there, which is, I can almost guarantee you he got a full-blown SWAT raid. I'm sure it was 3 or 4 a.m. I'm sure they broke the front door down when they
breached it. A lot of people don't realize this.
When SWAT raids a house, FBI, U.S. Marshals, anybody raids a house, they don't replace your front door for you, by the way. When they break into your house, they steal all your belongings, they drag you out in handcuffs, or if they don't handcuff you, they zip tie you, or if they don't zip tie you, they basically escort you out. They leave your front door open. It's ripped off the hinges. They leave everything wide open. They get back in their squad cars after they're done stealing everything, and they go back to whatever they're doing. Your house is open for the neighborhood, for any vandals, for any looters, for anybody that just wants to go peep inside and see what's going on. A lot of people don't realize that. They don't stop and put the door back up real nicely and tack it back in and put a deadbolt back in it. The door comes off the hinges when they breach your house, and if it doesn't, it's hanging there by a couple splinters. So that's the nice part about it. When they raid you, not only do they steal all your stuff and haul you off in jail, even if you haven't done anything wrong, just under the suspicion of you being involved in something like whistleblowing on the Clinton Foundation, then when they drag you off, they don't even give you enough dignity to close your front door so your entire neighbors know in the area, even if they don't rob you, they know you just got raided by a SWAT team. Just thought I'd add that second part in there for that. Also, too, this is interesting now as we see how the social media has become more and more and more censored on everything that's going on. Now Twitter has banned using the word dead naming. Which I had no idea what this was until earlier today. I'm not on Twitter. I don't know much about the lingo that stays up with this whole hip generation. But apparently, dead naming, which means referring to transsexuals by their real name. So if I don't call Bruce Jenner Caitlyn Jenner, I'm dead naming him. which apparently Twitter now has found out to be egregiously offensive and is banning that and banning any type of behavior of dead naming. So if I go on Twitter and I go on there right now and I say, Jenner, you're a dude. We all know you're a dude. Stop pretending like you're a girl. Not only do they ban me and block me, I can't probably even get another Twitter account under my name. So I just thought it's interesting now that they are going through and picking out words that don't really even exist until just currently. I mean, that's dead naming is not something that I guarantee you find in the early Webster Dictionary. I promise you that. So this is a term and new terms that are coming out now that they're now finding, oh, this is verboten. You can't say these words. You can't say this. You can't say that. And, guys, this is a scary road because this is exactly what starts to happen in a full-blown tyrannical society when they start coming in and saying, well, you can't do this and you can't say that and you can't say this. Remember what's been going on in Sweden now for the last decade, the horrible rapes, all the things that have been going on with the molestations, the attempted rapes, the murders, the stabbings, the lootings, the mobbing, blowing up police cars. That's all happened in Sweden all the time. And then occasionally you'll see somebody over there in Sweden, and it's happened in Germany and on most of other ones. I'm just picking on Sweden right now because they were first to the punchline when they started allowing these migrants to come in and take over their country. When somebody comes in and they say, God, I got to get on Facebook. This is horrible. This is absolutely horrific what's going on over there. And they make a Facebook video and they say, listen, you know, my sister got raped yesterday. The police won't do anything about it. I don't know what to do. I just want to let the United States population and the whole world know what's really going on. And they push send and they're video goes out. And then all of a sudden, a day later, 6 hours later, 12 hours later, however long it takes, law enforcement shows up, knocks on your door and say, hey, we need to take you in for questioning. You go, why? Well, you basically posted a video online and it's hate speech and we need to go ask you some questions. You go, but my sister got raped 3 days ago and you still have refused to even investigate the situation, even though you know where the perpetrator lives at in the migrant asylum or their slum housing that they're in. Oh, no, don't change the subject now, little lady. You're hate speeching. We got to find out why you're doing that. I'm telling people the truth what's going on. That doesn't matter. You can't say that. That's hate speech. But my sister got raped. She really got raped. Oh, no. That's besides the point. Now you're just trying to grasp the straws. We need to talk to you. This is what's going on all the time. Another article I saw in here from Judith Bergman. Another incident, Michaela Blix, after a man attacked her in the street and tried to rape her, the police refused to do anything, even though they knew where her attacker lived and she was able to identify him. Almost one out of three Swedes now do not feel safe in Sweden, according to a new poll. It's curious that the Swedish police not only have sufficient resources to charge people with attending peaceful demonstrations or hate speech online, but they apparently can charge people with thought crimes now, but apparently don't have enough manpower to arrest rapist. There were over 22,000 sexual crimes last year alone in Sweden. The number corresponds to an average of 20 reported rapes per day. That's over twice as many that were reported just 10 years ago. They're saying now that basically 80% of the men that have been sentenced for rape, which have only been 842 now in the past 5 years. 842. Out of all those people, 842 over the last 5 years have actually been sentenced for rape. 80% of the men were foreign-born, primarily from Middle East, Northern America, or southern parts of Africa. And it's funny because even though the police supposedly have neither the time nor the resources to attend the rapes or the attended rapes, they do show up when citizens gather to demonstrate against the rape and violence from the migrants. Apparently, they had one recently where 80 people had a peaceful protest. Policemen showed up in civilian clothing to watch over the peaceful event, and once it ended, they charged all the organizers with violating public order. Apparently, he had not applied for permission to demonstrate. Swedish police now apparently have no problem with migrant rapists, but they do, however, have issues with unannounced peaceful demonstrations. So this is something that's going on a regular basis now, as we've seen online with Facebook, as we've seen all over the place, where the truth cannot be spoken. It's becoming forbidden. The truth is becoming forbidden, and law and order, as long as it only pushes the agenda of the left and the globalist new world order, is it actually enforced? So I just thought that was interesting. I wanted to add on that, Dad, because as we're seeing ourselves become more and more censored across almost almost every single platform now, more and more crimes are being committed, and especially in countries like Sweden, the people don't even have a voice. They can't even talk about the truth, and on top of that, the police now are refusing to even investigate a huge portion of these crimes now, Dan.
Sweden's hardcore socialist communist. Hardcore.
Yeah.
I mean, hardcore. Super liberal. I mean, you know, and here's the thing. Let's stop for one second. You get 20, 30, 40,000 rapes, whatever's going to be in here next few years with these guys. You know, probably a large percent of these rapes are going to get people pregnant. And then you got to deal with the kid,
yep.
people who are going to have all these abortions. Then you got to deal with all these people who decide they're not going to have abortions, they're going to have the baby. Then you deal with all these babies that are being born who are basically damaging the DNA of the Swedish people because now they're going into the population so they can reproduce. I mean, you know, like I said yesterday, you get a 50 IQ with 100 IQ, you get a 75 IQ out of the pot. That's just basic numbers. So it's not okay. None of this stuff is okay, and for Sweden, and Sweden just pretends like it doesn't happen. Remember also, we were at the races just a couple months ago, back in January, February last year, this year, and we're talking to the guy from Sweden, and we're talking about what's going on. Oh, no, it's nothing. There's nothing wrong. Nothing to see here. I'm like, dude, you become the rape capital of Europe. Oh, no, nothing to see here. We're great. I'm like, man, you need to get your head out of your backside. I said, this is ridiculous. and I said the same thing. There were a couple of gay guys at the hotel one time in Tallahassee when I was there with Sharon going to a football game a couple of years ago, and they were from Sweden and they wanted to see a college football game, and we started asking them about what was going on. Oh, nothing to see here, nothing to see here. Same thing in Germany. I'm on a busload of German tourists, and I'm in the Glacier National Park. And I start talking to him about what's going on in Germany with what happened in Cologne with all the rapes that one night when 1,000 women got molested and assaulted and everything else. And they actually had groups of men stand around women as they were on the ground being raped, being raped by the gang raped. And, you know, and I talk to these guys. Oh, nothing to see here. Doesn't happen. No, that never happens in Germany. Then finally the guy gets on the bus with me, and there's like a dozen of them together. And I'm sitting up at the front with him where his other friends can't hear. And because I'm talking German to him, right? And he goes, "Warum sprichst du so gut Deutsch?" or something like that. In other words, why are you speaking such good German? I mean, how do you learn German like that? And so he's thinking I'm like from Germany, and I'm like, you know, the SS, and I'm the secret police, and I'm over here in America trying to get him to say something about this. And I told him, I said, "I know that's what he's thinking, right?" And I said, "My Muttersprache. That was my mother's language. She was from Germany. I said I speak German fluently. It's my first language." He goes, "Oh." And he goes, "Well, okay, now that I know who you are, you're right. This is awful in Germany. The rapes are awful." And he just blows up. And, of course, nobody else could hear him. But they were so censored. I told you the story. The time I met some people, I'm not going to mention their last name. I'll mention the first name. His name was Oliver. And I met him at Disney World. And they were from Germany. And they came by the house. We got to know them. They came by the house. And we started talking about World War II and what happened in World War II. And they said, "Oh, no, we can't talk about that." I can't. I said, you're in Florida. "No. We cannot talk." And I said, "What are you?" He says, these sind verboten. We can't use these words. They are forbidden words. Guys, this is where it goes when you lose your First Amendment. Remember, Germany didn't have a First Amendment right. They're told what words and what vocabulary they can use. They don't have our constitution. You know, the Allies put together their constitution after World War II. You know, they were occupied. They're still occupied. We still have medical bases over there. They're still a satellite country of the United States, and we still control them, still to this day. You guys, that's just the truth, guys, whether you want to believe that or not. It's how we do things. Otherwise, why in the world would we leave our military bases there when they've asked us repeatedly to remove them? It's the same thing with Japan. See, so guys, it's so important to understand that Austin's right. You know, we've got to realize what's going on here, and the political correct agenda has run itself completely amok. It's gone to the, that's why I won't do it. That's why if anything on this show, I go to the opposite extreme. I'm like, okay, we're going to talk about what we can't talk about. So show host tells me on Wednesday, "Can't talk about that stuff, Ted. Can't talk about that." I said, "I'm talking about it." "Oh, you don't want to talk about it." "I'm talking about it. And here's why. You guys know I'm real. I'm not playing this game with these whack bags. Okay. I'm real. And I tell you what, guys, so much of the alternative news, it ain't real anymore. I better stop before I get any deeper into that one, Austin. What do you think of what's your next story?"
No, you're absolutely right on that. Well, also, too, in other news, as I've been talking about and keeping everybody kind of informed as it's slowly starting to become a real thing now, Delta has the Atlanta Airport Terminal now with the first biometric terminal in the United States where passengers can use facial recognition technology from curb till gate. Delta has also announced plans to start the technology in other areas. They said it's now starting on December 1st. All Delta passengers traveling on flights to international destinations will be able to take advantage of the biometric options for all parts of their journey. This is what they say about it. This is their how well written their propaganda is. They said, we're removing the need for a customer checking a bag to present their passport per departure, which means we're giving customers the option of moving through the airport with one less thing to worry about, while empowering our employees with more time for meaningful interactions with customers. That's what Gil West, Delta's COO, said. They said the options also be available in international passengers flying nonstop from Atlanta to on Delta to America, Mexico now. And so what is going on with this, and I talked about this because this is going on in Orlando too, Orlando International Airport is going to be having this, is that they're slowly promoting the biometric agenda. Not because it's so fantastic and it's so convenient. They're selling it as that. That's the selling pitch from a salesman of saying, hey, it's so easy, it's so cool, it's so hip, it's biometric, it's so fast. But in reality, this is all about building together this giant biometric spyware, essentially, is what it is, so they can start monitoring you. Because if they start doing it in areas like airports, as you guys notice, airports are always kind of the beta test to see how far they can push things. First place we've ever actually had x-ray scanners they expected human beings to walk through that I still refuse to walk through. The first place where we actually had security completely grope you, and I mean seriously grope you, even after they removed everything out of your pockets, taking your belt off and taking your shoes off, they still feel the need to grope you. And if they want to grope you any further, they take you into the back room where Dad's been there before, and they ask you more questions after they grope you. The airport's a beta test for all this, so now they're taking it a step further to introduce the biometric system into a hip, cool, new way to travel so they can slowly start introducing it into other venues of our life to normalize it. We've seen it on phones now. A lot of phones, they come out. Remember they first came out with Apple? It was your thumbprint. Your biometric thumbprint lets you in. Everybody's like, oh, okay, that's easy enough. Now, they have computers, laptop computers and phones that do full retina eye scans. I saw one that, you know, I know somebody has. Basically flip the laptop open, it automatically scans your retina, then you don't have to type in a password or anything. They're doing this under the guise of ease of use and convenience, but in reality it's building a platform. Because remember this, still, even in most cases, unless you have actual evidence of seeing that person doing it, you know, full visual view, no covering, no sunglasses, no hat, none of that, and you actually see somebody doing it, or you have multiple witnesses that can attest that this person did it or that person did it, whether or not it's good or bad, you have to have that to convict somebody. Once you start factoring in the biometrics, there is no loophole anymore. They can say, oh, we know so-and-so did this because his scan is biometric. But what happens when you take it a next step further? What happens if a hacker or somebody that doesn't like you or somebody that has your type of biometrics adds that into the system and it says, oh, yeah, well, Mr. John Smith, he's the one that robbed the bank because we had his biometrics on scan when he walked into the bank, and they input that in there, and now all of a sudden your biometrics show up. How about you? We scanned his eyeballs. That was him. Even though it wasn't you, somebody with a mask on, something else. There's all these other factors that start to play a big role into this. You know, we've seen so many of these giant companies now, once they've been bought out, they mysteriously get hacked. You know, Neiman Marcus got hacked a couple years ago. Target got hacked. Millions of people's information got breached. We saw Experian. They lost millions of people's information. One of the biggest credit reporting agencies in the world got hacked. Then we basically turn around and we've seen Marriott get hacked now. We saw Facebook get hacked now. All the time they're losing hundreds of millions of people's information. What a lot of people don't realize, that stuff is worth a lot of money per person on the black market. And on top of that, you start allowing these things to go out into the other dark web to be inputted into all these other areas. And on top of that, it builds a giant database on you, because once that stuff starts getting sold and starts getting thrown all around, all that information you have from anything you bought at Target for the last 2 years, anything you bought at Experian with your credit report when it got pulled, to every hotel you stayed in with Marriott, to how many people stayed in your hotel, to what kind of coffee you wanted in your room service in the morning. All these things go into that database, and when they get breached like this, guys, in my opinion, I don't think a lot of these breaches are turning out to be organic, natural hackers breaching these things anymore. We got really good security in a lot of these areas, and I think in some cases, not all of them, just my opinion, I think some of these big companies are, how do I put it in parentheses, accidentally being hacked, put it that way. And this stuff is being basically released and sold and transferred and basically data logged on the black market. But again, that's just my opinion on that, Dan.
Well, my opinion too. Quite frankly, you know, Starwood Marriott just got hacked, lost 500 million consumers' information. 500 million. You know, I mean, you got to remember something, guys. Organized crime runs the planet through basically the satanic organizations and black magic. It's organized crime. We've talked about this over and over and over again. We got the Italian mafia, the Jew mafia, the Irish mafia, the Chinese mafia. All this drug running that takes place. It's all part of the CIA working with organized crime. Started back during World War II with the New York shipyards. I mean, this is, we've talked about it on the show before. And guys, this is what's going on. The organized crime wants that data because they can hack it, they can steal it, they can sell your information, they can sell your credit report, they can do anything they want to you. It doesn't make a difference. They can steal your points if they want, if they get all the data information as far as your passwords. But guys, here's the thing. Why does this happen all the time? I mean, the reason it happens all the time is because the safeguards aren't being put into place. And how do we know that billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars, and I'm saying billions now, aren't being paid in backroom deals for these hacks to be taking place? We don't know what they're doing. We have no idea. In fact, I had a friend of mine there, also members of Starwood with us at Marriott, and I got him involved with that program a few years ago, and I called him up today. I texted him. I said, dude, you got to freeze your credit. What do you mean freezer credit? You know, we have a credit reporting thing that answers to us every month. That's a recurring charge. And I said, that's just another scam the credit reporting agencies do. They don't stop people from hacking your credit. They just tell you when you've been hacked, okay? When somebody's used your stuff, they let you know. No, you don't want that. You want to freeze your credit. You want to contact Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. You send them a copy of your utility bill and tell them you want your credit report frozen, which means that you yourself, unless you use a PIN number, you can't unfreeze it. In other words, nobody can unfreeze it without your PIN number. Would that prevent anybody ever from taking credit out in your name, regardless of whether they're hacked or not, because they can't get a report? I mean, just the other day, I remember I was buying a different truck, swapping trucks. They're giving me an incentive, you know, finance this, finance that, that kind of stuff, but we have to run a credit report on you. So I said, you can't run a credit report on me. And they said, sure we can. I said, okay, run it. They ran it. They go, it says it's blocked. There's nothing. There's no credit report. You have no credit whatsoever. It's like blocked. I said, yeah, I know. I said, I have to unfreeze it. I said, guys, this is the important thing that everybody needs to understand. You gotta take precautions. Like Austin said at the beginning of the show, same thing with me. I walk around with a 1911 Kimber in a holster sewn into my pocket with two extra magazines everywhere I go. And people go, what are you scared of? Well, I'm not scared of anything, but I'm prepared. I'm always prepared. That's why the credit needs to be frozen, so that people can't go in there and start buying a car in your name, and also they drive off with a car, and also they're sending you the bill, and now they're after you, and that's going to take you years to clean that mess up? No, that's not cool. Just avoid all that stuff. Guys, I love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend. I appreciate you guys. Hope you enjoyed the blue dress story. I told Sharon I was going to tell that story someday, and it happened to fit in today. So you guys are awesome. You guys are like family. You guys are like sitting around the counter with me at the table now having a protein shake. So, guys, I love you. I got to pray for you again today. Thanks for getting your supplements from Health Masters. We didn't talk much about nutrition today. I had a bunch of other stuff I was going to talk about, but on nutrition, but we ran out of time. Guys, I love you. I appreciate it. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely, and we do appreciate all the support everybody continues to give us. And also, too, one last health topic for the end of Friday. I really wanted to touch base on this because I get a lot of people that bring this up to me, and I was adamant about Lana not drinking coffee while she was pregnant, and she agreed with me after she did the research on it. And, you know, they say the limit's like 200 milligrams a day of caffeine while you're pregnant. I say the limit's 0 milligrams. I don't think caffeine is something that needs to be used in a pregnant woman. A, the fact that caffeine's a stimulant, it releases adrenaline, which can actually stress out the baby. B, caffeine is also a vasoconstrictant, meaning it cuts blood flow off. Well, a new article just came out now, and they said women who drink tea or coffee during pregnancy are more likely to have small babies, research suggests. Even women who drink less than the safe cutoff of 200 milligrams of caffeine, which is about 2 mugs of coffee or 3 cups of tea, are more at risk of having low birth weight or premature newborns. The researchers from University College Dublin believe caffeine restricts blood flow to the placenta, affecting baby's growth. The study led by Dr. Lao Wing Sheng looked at 941 mother-child pairs born in Ireland. Tea was the main mother's main source of caffeine, 48%, followed by coffee, 38%. The results suggested that for every additional 100 milligrams of caffeine consumed during the first trimester, birth weight was reduced by 0.5 pound. This amount of caffeine also decreased the baby's length and head circumference, as well as their gestational age, which measures the length of pregnancy. Results further found that women consumed the most caffeine had babies weighing around 0.37 pounds less than those who had the least, cutting it down to over almost a pound less reduced. The study was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. So I just want you guys to think about that, because when you are having a kid or you are thinking about having a kid, I tell so many women this that I've worked with, and Landon does too, is that, you know, for 9 months, you really need to do the absolute best you can, which means you're going to have to cut some stuff out of your diet. And one of those, in my opinion, is caffeine and coffee. Just don't think it's a good place to put that in your body while you're growing a child. It's just my opinion. Researchers also said the same here. So I thought I would bring that up, because I get a lot of people to ask me that. Oh, is it okay to use caffeine? Is it okay to use coffee? Doctor said I can drink coffee while I'm pregnant. Doctor tell you also need vaccines. Doctor also tell you your gallbladder needs to be removed because you got a gallstone in it. So there's a lot of things the doctor will tell you. In my opinion, you need to do your own research. Do your own research and make your own informed decision. That's what I tell our customers. That's what I tell my friends. That's what I tell our whole Health Masters family. The best thing to do is inform yourself and make an informed decision that you believe is correct with factual statements and factual information based off that. So I thank you guys. I love you. You have a wonderful weekend. Have an awesome Friday night. Be safe. If you need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, healthmasters.com, and give us a call. And if you need anything as far as the product of the week, the probiotic 350 billion is on sale for over 15% off. And also be sure to vote for the other products of the week. I think we got Muscle Blast, Adrenal Support, Attention Factor, a couple other ones on there that you can vote on. Really popular week for that, so be sure to check that out. If you guys need anything, email me, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, great weekend. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.